A midnight meeting on the ashen roads, midnight meeting on the ashen roads. I traversed the ashen roads many times, but each journey was different. The weight of expectation could change the road's atmosphere in an instant. Tonight, the air felt heavy with foreboding. Ahead, a lone lantern cast flickering shadows on the stone walls of a windbreak. The sign above it creaked in the gentle breeze, the unseen way. I approached at a slow pace, a gesture of respect for the meeting's purpose and the road's treacherous past. 3 years ago, I stumbled upon a group of marauders attempting to ambush travelers on this very stretch. We traded blows, but not without losses. Now, the Ashen Roads Association ensured such ambushes were rare. A figure emerged from the shadows, silhouetted against the lantern's glow. His broad shoulders and dark cloak hinted at House Valen, though in this era, the house was said to be reclusive. I inclined my head in respect as he stepped closer. "Kael Varn," he said without introducing himself. "I know who you are," I replied, using his title. He gestured toward the windbreak, and we walked alongside each other, our footsteps echoing off the stone. We passed beneath the lantern's glow, into a darkness that seemed almost palpable. It was then I noticed the hood of his cloak had been removed, revealing a silver pin in the shape of an arrowhead, the insignia of House Valen. We stopped at a point where the walls formed a natural alcove. Kael turned to me with eyes that were both familiar and foreign, like those of a close relative you've forgotten. "The Order has concerns about our mutual acquaintance, Lyra," he said. "Her actions border on recklessness." "Concerned? I'd have expected that." In the shadows, the weight of consequence was always felt sooner or later. I'd known Lyra for 5 years, long enough to understand her obsession with balance, but not its edges.
"Do you think she'll listen?"
I asked, my gaze drifting toward the windbreak's far end, where a hint of darkness seemed denser than the rest. "I have no doubt," Kael said. "The Nightforgers are growing restless.
It may take persuasion."
I nodded. We'd had this conversation before. In our line of work, the choice between persuasion and correction often hung in the balance, awaiting the right moment to tip. I understood the mechanics involved: a whisper here, a subtle disappearance there. That was how we maintained balance. As we spoke, I sensed an undertone, something just beyond perception. The Ashen Roads were known for their treacherous whispers, and I knew that some paths led directly into shadows, others into silence, but which one Kael Varn treaded tonight.
"You're right," he said, interrupting my thoughts. "This meeting isn't about her actions. It's about the ones who will be affected by them."
We walked in silence for a moment, our footsteps the only sound on the deserted road. In that quiet, I understood the price of balance wasn't paid by those like me or Kael, but by those at the periphery, the silent and the forgotten. The darkness around us thickened as we approached a point where two paths diverged in the windbreak's shadows. The lantern's glow had begun to wane, plunging the area into an early evening twilight. Our destination was at hand. At that moment, Lyra appeared from the darkness, her features illuminated by the fading light of the lantern. She stood between us, her eyes fixed on Kael with a mixture of fear and defiance.
"You've come for me," she said, her voice steady.
Kael's expression remained neutral.
"We need to talk."
The air seemed heavy as we formed a tight triangle, the shadows watching from their places around us. The Ashen Roads whispered secrets that no one else knew, and in this moment, it was clear, Lyra's fate, like so many others before her, hung by threads of loyalty and consequence.
Kael nodded toward me.
"We'll take care of it."
I felt a shiver run down my spine as he reached into his cloak. But instead of drawing a blade, he produced a small pouch filled with silver dust. The Nightforgers valued such things, a bit of power that promised balance for those willing to pay its price.
"You understand?"
Lyra's voice was laced with desperation. I turned toward her, my heart pounding in my chest.
Kael and I exchanged a look before he nodded, the pouch still extended.
For him, this was correction, a whisper in the night that might bring silence or a silent disappearance. In that moment, the decision weighed on me, too. Loyalty to the order hung heavy as the consequences of our actions, and for a choice like this, there was no guarantee of redemption. The pouch remained extended between us, but I stepped back, my hand raised in refusal. "Not like this," I said softly. "Not with your price." Lyra's face lit up with determination. "I'll find another way." I turned to Cale Varn, the weight of consequence settling on me like a shroud. He nodded once, then tucked the pouch back into his cloak. As we parted ways, Lyra disappearing into the shadows, I realized that in moments like these, our choices were not always clear-cut. The price of balance hung heavy in the air, awaiting its due. The lantern's flame had long since died out when I found myself walking back toward the city, the darkness around me both familiar and oppressive. In the distance, I could sense Cale Varn watching another shadow within a sea of shadows. Tonight, balance remained elusive, hidden behind the silence that seemed to follow us all like our own personal darkness. The city's stone walls loomed ahead, a dark silhouette against the night sky. I navigated through the narrow alleys with an air of practiced caution, my eyes adjusting to the dim light. As I walked, I couldn't shake the feeling that Cale Varn's decision had consequences beyond Lyra's fate, that this was merely the beginning. The wind picked up, carrying the scent of baking bread from a nearby bakery. The warmth and smell were a fleeting comfort, but my thoughts remained fixed on Lyra. We'd worked together, sharing stories of our lives outside the Order's shadow. Her drive to balance the scales had always been admirable, though misguided at times. Tonight's meeting, however, felt different, like a threshold crossed, an invisible line separating us from the consequences of our actions. I entered the bakery, and its owner, Marcella, greeted me with a warm smile. The air inside was thick with the scent of bread and roasting meat. I took a seat at a small table by the window, watching as the city's nightlife unfolded outside, the flickering torches, the laughter, the haggling merchants. These were moments when the world seemed almost normal before the whispers of balance and consequence seeped back in. Marcella brought me a hot cup of spiced tea and sat beside me. Her expression turned serious as she glanced out the window. "Trouble on the Ashen Roads," she said softly, not needing to explain further. I took a sip of my tea, letting the warmth spread through my chest. "Cale Varn was here," I said, choosing my words carefully. "Lyra's in trouble." Marcella nodded sympathetically. In the city, everyone knew someone affected by the Order or its machinations. "I didn't think you two were close enough for it to be about loyalty." Her words stung, a reminder of the distance between Lyra and me since her obsession with balance deepened. The weight of consequence hung heavier now, a constant reminder that actions like ours came at a price. As I finished my tea, the silence that had descended over us spoke volumes about the unspoken rules within our world. There were those who'd cross the lines for power or revenge, others for loyalty or love. But there were also those of us, like Marcella and I, who navigated the balance, preferring to walk between the shadows rather than step into their heart. I stood to leave, paying for my tea with a few coins. "Keep an ear open," I said softly as we parted ways outside. "If anything changes, I'll come here first." Marcella nodded once and returned to her kitchen, her gaze lingering on the emptying streets before returning to the bread on her counter. The night air carried me away from the bakery, back into the city's labyrinthine alleys. Tonight, it seemed, was a reminder that even in the depths of our darkness, there were those who watched and waited, their loyalty not to a house or a lord but to the balance itself. As I turned a corner, I sensed a presence behind me, heavy footsteps echoing off the walls. My hand instinctively went to the blade at my belt, though I knew I wasn't its intended target. A figure emerged from the shadows, tall and imposing. "I think you should see this," it said, stepping aside to reveal a worn parchment tied with a black cord. It was an invitation, formal but laced with urgency, addressed to me and Cale Varn.
though his name was scribbled through with a red ink, as of now deceased. The ink had barely dried when the night itself seemed to grow darker, as if a curtain had dropped. I took the parchment from the figure, the black cord digging into my fingers as I broke it with a quick tug. The words on the page seemed to dance in the flickering torchlight, midnight, cathedral of the black rose. Come alone. There was no signature, only an intricate symbol etched at the bottom that sent a shiver down my spine, a mark I recognized from the order's most confidential documents. The figure stepped back into the shadows, his presence swallowed by the night, leaving me with more questions than answers. The parchment felt heavy in my hand, as if it held the weight of its own secrets. I tucked it into my belt, the rough edge cutting into my skin. Cale Varn's name was crossed out on the invitation, an ominous sign of what might be to come. With a growing sense of unease, I continued through the alleys, avoiding direct paths and instead choosing narrow byways that seemed to know me better than I knew myself. The night wore on, each step echoing off the stone walls as I navigated the labyrinthine city. Eventually, I found myself at the city's edge, the looming silhouette of the Cathedral of the Black Rose rising from the darkness like a specter. As I approached, a lone figure stood before the entrance, a hood pulled over their head, face obscured by shadow. We exchanged no words as they stepped aside to let me pass. Inside, the cathedral was dimly lit, its vaulted ceiling and stained glass windows casting kaleidoscopic patterns on the stone floor. The air was heavy with incense, a faint scent of sandalwood mingling with something else, something metallic. I moved down the aisle, my footsteps deliberate as I scanned the pews for signs of Cale or any other familiar face. Instead, I found myself alone, the figure from outside nowhere to be seen. A soft rustle echoed from the altar, and I turned toward it, the weight of the parchment still clutched in my hand. The priestess stood before the altar, her back to me as she reached for something on the surface. Cale Varn was taken by the order, she said without turning, her voice barely above a whisper. They believe he's a threat to the balance. My heart sank, a mixture of grief and anger churning within me. The parchment felt like a cruel mockery now, an invitation to a fate sealed before it had even begun. What do you want from me? I asked, my voice firm, though my body felt like lead. The priestess turned slowly, her eyes locked on mine as she reached for the candle holder beside her. I want you to take his place. The request was stark, but I'd expected something of this sort from the Order's shadows. They often sought balance through calculated manipulation, and this seemed a twisted extension of their game. What makes you think I'll take his place? I asked, my voice low and measured. The priestess stepped closer, her eyes never leaving mine as she replied, "You know him. You understand the cost of failure." Her words dripped with an unspoken accusation that Cale's death was a direct result of my inaction, or perhaps even a calculated consequence of our association. The weight of those words settled heavy on my shoulders, making every movement feel labored. She reached into her robes and produced a small pouch tied with a leather cord. "This contains something that will aid you in your mission," she said, her tone detached, though her eyes betrayed a flicker of concern. I took the pouch, feeling the weight of its contents shift inside a familiar sensation, one that hinted at something valuable. The priestess's gaze drifted to the stained glass windows above us, as if searching for a sign or a respite from the darkness within the cathedral. "You have until midnight to reach him," she said finally, her voice barely audible over the creaking of old stone. "After that, the paths will be sealed." The statement hung in the air like a threat, but I sensed something more, a hint of fear, perhaps even desperation. I tucked the pouch into my belt and turned to leave, my footsteps echoing through the cathedral as I made my way back to the entrance. The hooded figure stood there still, waiting for me with an unblinking gaze that unnerved me more than any threat from the Order. Once outside, I took a deep breath of the night air, feeling the weight of the parchment and the pouch settle into place. The city stretched before me like a maze, its secrets hidden behind every alleyway and every face in the shadows.
I navigated through these streets with a practiced ease, knowing them like the back of my hand, every shortcut, every hiding place, every potential threat. The streets were always full of whispers and half-truths, but tonight they felt treacherous, as if every step might lead me into a trap. As I walked, the weight of Kale's fate settled heavier on my shoulders. What exactly had happened to him? Was he truly dead, or was this some elaborate ruse to draw me in? And what did the Order hope to gain from my presence at the meeting? The questions swirled within me like a maelstrom, their answers shrouded in darkness. The streets began to thin out as I approached the city's outer walls. Ahead of me lay the Blackwood, a labyrinthine quarter rumored to be home to the city's seedier side, thieves, informants, and whispers all vying for power. It was a place where allegiances shifted like the wind, but also where information flowed like blood through its narrow alleys. I slowed my pace as I approached the Blackwood's entrance, scanning the rooftops and alleys for any signs of movement or surveillance. The silence within me grew thicker, a reminder that in this world of balance and consequence, loyalty was a luxury few could afford. I slipped into the shadows of the Blackwood, my footsteps muffled by the narrow alleys as I navigated the winding paths between crumbling buildings. The air was thick with the scent of rotting fruit and smoke, a heavy veil that clung to me like a damp shroud. I moved with caution, aware that in this quarter, even the most seemingly innocuous person could be a spy or an informer. As I walked, the silence within me grew heavier still, weighed down by the secrets I kept Kale's fate, the priestess's enigmatic words, and the Order's manipulation. The Blackwood was a place where allegiances shifted like sand in an hourglass, and I'd learned to keep my own counsel lest it become a liability in this treacherous landscape. I approached a small tavern on the edge of the quarter, its sign creaking in the wind, the Raven's Rest. A dimly lit entrance beckoned me inside, where the sounds of laughter and clinking glasses mingled with the stench of stale ale. I pushed open the door, the bell above it announcing my arrival to the patrons within. Inside, I spotted a familiar face, Ariana, a local whisperer known for her connections and information. She sat at a table near the fire, her eyes scanning the room before locking onto mine. A nod of recognition passed between us as I made my way over, my eyes adjusting to the dim light within. The patrons were an assortment of thieves, guards, and traders, their conversations hushed and speculative. Ariana's gaze flickered to the pouch at my belt, her expression unreadable. "What brings you here tonight?" she asked, her voice low as she poured a cup from the nearby jug. I hesitated, weighing my words carefully. How much could I trust this woman? The Order's reach was far-reaching, and I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched, even now. "What do you know of Kale Varn?" I asked instead, choosing to test the waters. Ariana's expression turned guarded, her eyes darting around the room before returning to mine. "Only rumors," she said finally, her voice measured. "Word is he was taken by the Order for his influence." Her words hung in the air like a challenge, leaving me wondering if I'd stumbled into something more complex than a simple rescue mission. I took a sip from my own cup, letting the bitter taste of the ale wash away the dust of the night. The fire crackled in the hearth, casting shadows on the walls as I pondered Ariana's words. What did she mean by influence? And what exactly had Kale done to attract the Order's attention? The fire crackled on, casting flickering shadows on the walls as I weighed my next words carefully. What influence? I asked, trying to keep my tone light, though my mind was racing with possibilities. Ariana's eyes darted around the room once more before she leaned in closer, her voice barely above a whisper. "Word is Kale Varn had dealings with someone above his station," she said, her gaze flicking towards the entrance of the tavern. I followed her line of sight, but saw nothing out of the ordinary, just a group of rowdy guardsmen laughing and clinking mugs together. "Who?" I pressed on, my interest piqued, though I tried to keep my tone casual. Ariana's eyes returned to mine, her expression serious. "Rumors point to someone high up in the city's council," she said, her voice barely audible over the din of the tavern. someone with connections to the Order.
The mention sent a shiver down my spine. The stakes had just grown exponentially. The patrons around us seemed oblivious to our conversation, too caught up in their own games and drinks. I took another sip from my cup, feeling the cool liquid soothe my parched throat. Ariana's eyes never left mine as she continued, "They say Kale was getting too close to the truth that he stumbled upon something big."
Her words hung in the air like a challenge, leaving me wondering what exactly this truth might be and what the Order would do to keep it buried. As I pondered her words, my gaze wandered to the hooded figure standing by the entrance. They still lingered outside, watching us with an unnerving intensity. A shiver ran down my spine. Was this someone sent by the Order or merely a curious bystander?
The tavern's patrons were too engrossed in their own conversations to notice, but I couldn't shake the feeling of being watched.
"Who's that?" I asked Ariana, nodding discreetly towards the entrance. Her eyes followed mine, and for an instant, our gazes locked onto the hooded figure before she returned her attention to me. "Just a new face," she said lightly, though her voice betrayed a hint of unease. I studied the figure more intently. There was something familiar about their posture, but I couldn't quite place it.
The door creaked open once more as a group of patrons stumbled out into the night air, laughing and shouting.
In the brief window of distraction, my gaze locked onto the hooded figure, who stepped forward, revealing themselves in the dim light, Kale's younger brother, Cormac.